Welcome to Take 10 with Infection Control, a series of casual conversations on topics of interest to the healthcare community.
Hi, everybody. My name is Julie Marshall. I'm a nurse educator, and I'm here with Dr. Shiley.
Hey, Julie. I'm Kevin Shiley. I'm an infectious disease doctor, and I work with Catholic Health Infection Prevention and Control. What are we talking about?
I was hoping we would be able to talk about device-associated infections today, since they're pretty prominent in healthcare.
They are a really, really important thing that we need to talk about in healthcare. So there's really two big groups that we worry about, but it's important to realize that we use all sorts of devices in healthcare in patients. So these are infections that can occur when we put something essentially into a patient as part of their care. And I think probably the most common one we talk about are catheter-associated urinary tract infections. So, you know, it is fairly common for our patients in hospital to get a urinary catheter placed for various reasons. But unfortunately, those can really cause problems.
So why is it important?
Oh, geez. Well, positive urine cultures are really, really common, actually, in catheterized patients. So it turns out if you were to put a Foley in a patient and then just send a urine culture on a daily basis for a period of time, by about a week, there's about a 50% chance they would have a positive urine culture, which is kind of amazing. Now, it's important also to realize that most of these people would be asymptomatic. They wouldn't have any signs of infection, and they actually wouldn't require any kind of treatment. But unfortunately, many providers feel compelled to give antibiotics for these positive urine cultures. And when you give a lot of unnecessary antibiotics, and you end up having issues with development of drug-resistant bacteria in your facility, and also potentially problems with antibiotic side effects, and even the dreaded antibiotic side effect of C. difficile, which, as you know, is kind of one of my favorite topics. I think that's important because we also need to think about defining what a real catheter-associated infection is. For all those people that get colonization in the catheter, there are a fraction of people that really do get symptomatic and get sick, and we define those people from a surveillance perspective of people with a positive urine culture and a fever, but clinically, usually we can't have any other source for that.
So what would lead to a positive urine culture if they don't actually have an infection?
This is colonization. So this is what I was talking about earlier, where if you were to just stick a catheter in somebody, that is placed ideally in an aseptic technique. However, that bag needs to be opened and closed periodically to drain the urine, and bacteria can work their way up into the drainage tube and into the bladder itself and colonize the bladder. And in addition, the bacteria can also travel along the catheter externally through the urethra into the bladder as well. So both of those are mechanisms by which bacteria kind of wiggle their way up into patients and potentially cause problems later on.
So how do we avoid that issue?
Well,
or a positive culture issue.
Number one, the most important thing of all is just don't put urinary catheters in people that really don't need them. So that's really a really key point, is avoid urinary catheters unless they're strongly indicated, and also remove them as soon as they're not indicated. So the best way to avoid a device-associated infection is not to have the device, of course. There's other things you can do as well. Number one, you need to know the indications. So you need to have an idea about when it's appropriate and when it's not appropriate to have a catheter, and to have an idea about when to get them out of people, of course. And there's various times when you really do have a good indication for a Foley. So one would be really strict ins and outs, usually in a critical care environment. This is most of the time when you see something like this, where you really need to know ounce by ounce input and output. Another time when a indwelling urinary catheter is indicated are stage 3 and 4 sacral decubitus ulcers, where they are frequently becoming contaminated with urine. Now, someone may have a sacral ulcer that can be kept clean and free of urine without a Foley catheter, and in that situation, you certainly shouldn't feel compelled to put one in. But if the patient really is soiling that wound frequently with urine, that would be an appropriate indication. Another important indication for a urinary catheter is if there's any kind of an obstruction in the urinary tract, whether it be, bladder outlet obstruction or a neurogenic bladder. Those are times when a Foley catheter would be indicated as well. I suppose another important one is after certain procedures. So in the post-operative patient coming out of anesthesia, these patients oftentimes require a urinary catheter for a brief period of time until their bladder wakes up a bit, and they should have a voiding trial usually within 24 hours or 48 hours for certain surgeries. And lastly, in the setting of palliative care and hospice, it is considered reasonable to have a urinary catheter in a patient for their comfort, though not typically appropriate to have a urinary catheter in for patient comfort outside of the hospice situation.
So nurses are the ones that place catheters, so it would be important for them to also understand the indications of placing one, and if there's an order for one and they don't think the patient meets any of those indicators, is it appropriate for them to question the order or why the patient actually needs the Foley?
I think a cornerstone to our patient's health and safety is a questioning attitude in the hospitals. You know, if you have a patient that has an order for a urinary catheter and there's no clear indication for it, I think it's certainly reasonable and appropriate to contact the provider and clarify the indication, because sometimes those orders are put in inadvertently or for reasons that aren't clear, and there's absolutely a lot of things that can be done to get around the need for a Foley catheter in certain situations. And I think it's great that our nursing staff ask questions. I actually am very appreciative when people bring things to me that I may not have thought about, so I think it's appropriate to do that, yeah.
And then the education regarding Foley catheters, it's important that all nurses know, but then sometimes patients don't want them out either. If they don't want to get up to go to the bathroom all night, if they're getting something, it's often very important for us as nurses to educate the patients on the risks of having that catheter in, as well as the nurse knowing when there's an order to pull the catheter just because the patient's getting Lasix and they don't want to the patient to have to get up it very frequently. It's in the patient's best interest to remove that Foley. So educating the patient and educating the staff on the high risks of longer patient stays and then poor outcomes for the patients.
Yeah, that's really, really important and cannot be stressed enough. The patients love catheters when they are having a hard time getting up out of bed. I think my father-in-law was in the hospital a few years ago, and he wanted to keep his Foley so bad, and I had to educate him on why it was so important to get it out. So I empathize with patients in that regard, in that particularly when they're having trouble getting up and around, they might prefer to have that in. But unfortunately, sometimes our empathy, if it's too strong, can lead to real patient harm. And I think it's so important just alerting the patient and their family to the real potential harm in keeping these catheters in can really change the conversation quite a bit.
Well, thank you for discussing all of these high-risk infections.
No problem. Thank you.